Hello, and welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for the show. Today we continue our 2018 New Year's podcast series, the annual shows where we check in on sponsors of the site and get their take on the year that was, in this case 2017, and the year that will be, in this case 2018. We continue it with a familiar name to the podcast as we're joined once again by Mark Collins, Vice President of the Canadian Partner Organization at Cisco Canada. In 2017, Cisco had one of the biggest launches in its history with the Network Intuitive, and we're keen to get his take on how that launch has been going in the Canadian market. We also touch on the continuing transformation of both Cisco and its partner program around software and recurring revenues, and get into where Cisco Canada is going in 2018. So it should be a great conversation. Well, let's get right into it. My chat with Mark Collins. Mark, thanks once again for joining us.
Glad to be here, Rob. Always good to talk to you.
So another year at Cisco. It was a big one in terms of launches, in terms of the business, in terms of any terms you want to look at. I guess let's throw it open with, in general terms, kind of your thoughts on the year that was 2017.
Yeah, well, I mean, 2017 was a year of evolution for Cisco in some really positive ways, and some evolution in Cisco Canada. So. Mm-hmm. In terms of the greater Cisco, it was I would say it was the year of the launch, and the biggest one was obviously the Network Intuitive. We were born as a networking company; everybody knows that. And to see us really re-energize and refocus on how it all starts and ends with the network, people will remember we've talked about the network being the platform, and we've had a number of descriptors of the network, but all, and the network always being the center of everything we do. And I think that we really got back to that in a big way this past year. So the relaunch of the network as a platform, branding of Network Intuitive, the introduction of security and automation to the network, that was just huge for us globally. You know, security everywhere, really clarifying our role in the cloud and it being a multi-cloud world, and we're the architects of the cloud, whether it be on-prem or off-prem. Just some huge moves from us from a technology perspective. We had a leadership change in Canada, so we have a new leader we're super excited about, and the business has really been accelerating over the past 3 to 6 months, so a lot of good momentum there. It's just been, if there's anything constant, it's change. I think that's always been the case, and 2017 was a year that represented that never being more true.
All right, fair enough. I want to drill down a little bit more on Network Intuitive. Obviously, it was sort of, as you identified it, and as I would identify, sort of the big launch of the year for you guys. How has that been accepted, adopted in the Canadian market, and where are you finding opportunities around Network Intuitive for your partners today?
Sure. No, it's a good question. And I mean, to answer the second half of your question first, the answer is very well. The attendance to our seminars, the participation in our webinars, the early trials we're having with customers, and the business starting to flow based on the launch of the 9K has been really strong. Customer acceptance has been excellent. And I think it's not just because we have for some time now been focusing on the refreshing of our base, because we have the largest installed base in the world of the network, but the actual reason behind the Network Intuitive, which is introducing automation and security everywhere and every point in the network. We've been saying for a long time now that the edge is critical. Uh-huh. There's no question it's a multi-cloud world, but in a multi-cloud world, you cannot forget that the edge is the closest thing to the customer where the application is being served up. So the 9K and the message behind the 9K being an intelligent edge, delivering security everywhere, has been hugely accepted. And then customers are also excited about the fact that as they continue to, on an ongoing basis, refresh and modernize their networks, you know, the more capability you introduce a network, the more you need to be able to handle in terms of the deployment of capability. So not just security, mm-hmm. but automation has been extremely well accepted. Customers are excited about the fact to be able to do more with less touches using more automation and technology. I think that that's been a big win for us, and it's going very well. Lots of excitement. And last but not least is the network. It's kind of the ultimate platform as an analytics collector. So as customers, you know, continue to compete in a more complex and borderless world, being able to understand the state of their assets, the state of their people, and the state of their customers, and you know where everything is and what's going on to better serve the needs of their employees and customers. Analytics is a great tool to do that, just to understand real-time what's going on in your business and in your world. The network is the ultimate platform to do that, and the technology that lives in Network Intuitive is purpose-built to serve up analytics in real-time. So those three pillars, security, automation, and analytics, have gone over very well, and I would say the customers are accelerating with us on the journey of the 9K. What did you think of the launch of the 9K, Rob?
It was, it's interesting stuff, you know, when you talk about, especially on the security side. I found that kind of that, I forget how you put it, but basically that data in flight, malware or security checking, without decrypting. That's pretty fascinating stuff and a pretty compelling story. Especially for a year that has been, you know, so dominated by security issues. I mean, it seems like every year now is, but perhaps even more so with, you know, the aftermath of the U.S. election and the WannaCry, and then what was the one that hit, in fact, during Cisco Live? It was a follow-on to WannaCry. Petya, or not Petya, rather. But, yeah, interesting stuff.
I can't recall, but what I remember from Cisco Live, and I remember Chuck saying at Cisco Connect, which I thought was kind of summed it up, is, you know, maybe it's not absolutely true, but it's true enough that there's really two kinds of customers. The customers that have been hacked and the customers that don't know they've been hacked yet and will find out soon. So the need for security everywhere, and with the Network Intuitive, like you said, for us to be able to protect encrypted traffic, and yet, you know, in a multi-cloud world, it's not always clear who is inside and who's on the outside of your network. So to be able to detect anomalies in encrypted traffic without breaking encryption, it's just a huge advantage, and it's now necessary because you need all kinds of internal and external players in your ecosystem to operate your business these days, which means the world needs to be more and more open. And as the world becomes more and more open, you need more sophisticated tools to be able to protect yourself. So Network Intuitive and technologies of that nature, the LandCope acquisition and integrating that into the network, I think that gives us a huge advantage for our customers and for us.
All right. You know, you touch on the multi-cloud stuff, and it feels like, obviously, Canadian cloud market still probably behind the U.S. market, but certainly growing rather rapidly as that becomes a more mainstream idea writ large, as the public cloud providers ramp up their presence in this country. It must be an opportunity that you see great opportunity for growth around the multi-cloud thrust, given that the Canadian market is sort of maturing in terms of cloud.
Yeah, absolutely. And from several perspectives, I mean, just the cloud itself and applications that were born in the cloud, mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of interesting that we've been having a conversation like this for a long time, and, you know, the cloud has been a great opportunity for us for a long time, and we have applications that were born and raised and have always lived in the cloud, and WebEx would be a great example of that. WebEx is a standalone business, would be one of the larger cloud companies in the world, so born and raised in the cloud, totally good with, but going down the path that you described, which is just the reality of where our partners and customers are headed, is, you know, hybrid IT in a multi-cloud world. I think customers are still every day making decisions on this front. You know, there was certainly a lot of effort to move workloads to the cloud. And in a lot of cases, that was probably a great idea and things are going terrifically well. And in other cases, customers are probably reconsidering. So as workloads are moved into the cloud, repatriated from the cloud, or live in both on-prem and burst into the cloud, mm-hmm. It doesn't change the fact that you need a flexible, secure infrastructure that will allow you to do that, number one, which I think that we are best positioned of any vendor in the market to be able to serve up a flexible, open infrastructure. We have tools that allow you to manage and secure policy and traffic in between cloud, like CloudLock, Umbrella, technologies like that, empower customers to be able to make these decisions and be safe. So super excited about that. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I mean, it's all about how are you delivering the best possible experience? How are you delivering the most efficient experience with the application. So AppDynamic, that acquisition has paid off huge for us, and customers are adopting that in a big way. Because at the end of the day, the technologists, the CIOs out there, no one's asking them, to account for all of the pieces that it takes to build an infrastructure, because it's probably beyond most of the end user to understand. But they sure understand when they're not getting their applications the way they want them. So technologies like AppDynamic that allow customers to understand how their applications are performing and be able to quickly correct those things that need help, it's a huge opportunity for us, and it continues to grow. The last piece I would add to that is, you know what? In a multi-cloud world, it takes a village, right? No one vendor can do it all in every single situation. So the ability to have systems that work with ecosystem players, our relationships with companies like NetApp as an example, are huge advantages for us, because it allows us to bring the whole solution to the customer and work with some of the technologies they already have in their environment to bring whole solutions forward that serve all of their needs on-prem, off-prem, and anything in between.
Great. So far, we've talked about a whole lot of changes to sort of technology and the business models that are underpinned or supported by that technology. Obviously, Cisco has a reputation as one of the sort of thought leaders in terms of partner programs and re-architecting partner programs as the industry changes. Whether it was years and years ago, the sort of beginning of the volume to value message, to today's talk about customer success organizations and much more. Can you kind of highlight some of the changes you made to the programs to reflect this reality that you're targeting this refocus on the network and these priorities?
Sure. So there's three examples I would point to. Number one, just in terms of the theme of ease of doing business, the registration of opportunities to reflect the partners that have gone above and beyond to identify or develop an opportunity for us. It's a long-standing program we've had in place, registration of opportunities that partners bring to us. Mm-hmm. We've raised the threshold for partners in that space, so partners now can enjoy a doubling of the value of an opportunity they can register with us, and it goes through a streamlined approval process, so they can get approvals now in hours versus days. So that's been a huge win for us in terms of ease of doing business. In terms of the refocus on the network, up-leveling the certification for the enterprise network, having a master's designation introduced to that technology set, mm-hmm. to reflect the increased level of skill to deliver automation, security, and analytics to the network. I think that gives the partners the exact message they wanted to hear from us, that the network is something that is a critical asset, and developing the network is a critical skill that we need our partners to step up to, and our customers need them as well to deliver the full capability. That is absolutely huge, and we're really excited about that, because it respects the roots of the company, and it respects the roots of our partners and their companies and what they build a lot of their franchises and legacy on. So ease of doing business, that's huge. The ease of programs, that's a critical piece. And profitability. We continue to remain committed to programs like VIP, making that broadly available across the portfolio, and also continue directed on the journey that we're on, so continuing to improve profitability and enhance profitability like software, and support partners in their journey to be able to deliver more of Cisco's software solutions. So another thing that we've been doing is, from a role perspective, our services account managers in the team have been taking on the added responsibility to helping partners develop, land, expand, adopt, and renew practices to ensure that customer requirement to continue to take full advantage of the technology they buy from us that's born in a software application, that they put that to full use. People in Cisco taking responsibility to make sure that the partners develop those practices, that happens, and that there's success at the end of that journey. So not only are the partners able to deliver what the customers need, which is that full capability, but benefit from that. So we have programs that allow partners to enjoy rebates on executing on the business plans to drive these land, adopt, expand, and renew motions. So those are three areas where we're really doubling down, and I think that it's being very well received by the partners, and we're going to continue on that.
bit. Speaking of continuing on things, wanted to shift to maybe looking a bit towards 2018. I guess to start writ large, what are you seeing as sort of the trends and priorities for Cisco Canada heading into 2018?
I would say a couple things. First of all, we've made some announcements of late, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but obviously we're making some big moves in the collaboration space to continue to grow that portfolio. So I'm expecting some big things from our collaboration portfolio next year as we make sure that we're leading in all segments from the largest of the large down into the medium and smaller business segments. So I think collaboration is going to be a big play for us. I think the network intuitive going from launch into mainstream and seeing some big acceleration. We're seeing some large opportunities with customers starting to take shape, and I think that the acceptance of that platform is only going to take off even faster. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you know, we started here, and I think that this is just going to be a relentless focus on security. I think security is going to be more important in anything and everything that we do. In a multi-cloud world where technology and infrastructure needs to remain open, like we were discussing earlier, you know, access to applications and technology is critical, and as critical as the ability to protect them at the same time. So collaboration, I see big things in that space. I see big lift in the network, refresh and renewal of the network, and security everywhere. They're the three biggest things I would say I see big opportunity coming in the new year. And, of course, all of that is going to be in flexible business models. So whether they want capabilities served up from the cloud, customer wants everything on-prem, anything in between, the consumption model of their choice, we're open for business, how the customers want to consume it. We want to bring it to them the way that makes best sense to them through the way our partners actually serve it up through their practices and their businesses.
Great. Obviously, you're talking to partners a lot across Canada. Curious, as we sit here kind of in the last days of 2017, how's the mood in the channel? How are partners, acknowledging there's going to be a range of answers and a range of different business models and expectations, experiences, etc. But just generally set, how do you find the mood in the partner base at the moment? How are they feeling about their business and prospects for 2018?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I would say it's been an interesting year. So I would say, on the whole, I see lots of optimism out there. And why I see lots of optimism is because I'm seeing a big return to customers starting to invest in technology and the infrastructures again. So I think that there's a lot of optimism and anticipation going into next year. I think that there's a lot of curiosity out there as well in terms of who's going to buy who, because we've seen so much consolidation in the industry over the past 2 or 3 years. You know, I think that there's an open question in everyone's mind. What happens next on that front? Yeah. Because it's certainly been interesting to watch all of that play out. But I think there's optimism. I think there's curiosity. And I think that everybody, and, you know, in a constantly changing industry, I think there's a little bit of angst, as well there should be, you know, in terms of what's the next big move. Many partners are finding their way from being purely in the business of transacting technology to moving to more annuity-like models. Mm-hmm. So how they're going to get there and how fast they can get there, I think that's on everyone's mind. And can they get there as fast as their customers want and need them to get there? So I think that change drives a little bit of anxiety. I think that that's out there, but I think it's healthy anxiety because it's based in wanting to change and evolve and go faster. And I think that that's the way it should be. I think if that wasn't out there, it would be a bad thing because it would mean that, you know, things are not changing, and where there is stagnation, there isn't growth. So yeah. I think anxiety, it's good. It's healthy.
All right. Great. Sort of the territory I wanted to cover before we wrap this up, any parting shots for the Canadian channel community?
Parting shots. Well, how about parting best wishes? Let's go there. So,
sure.
I'm really excited about this coming year. It's been an exciting year. It's been a year of change. I think the opportunities out there are only getting bigger. I think we all need to band together and be open-minded about new and different kinds of partnerships. We talk a lot about ecosystems, and I would encourage any and all traditional or progressive, or use the adjective that you choose, whatever you prefer, but ultimately all of our partners that we've been in this with for a long time, I would encourage all of them to have an open mind to working in different kinds of partnerships, working with technology ecosystem players and data center security, working with industry ecosystems players and applications that help serve up analytics in, in industries like retail and industries like healthcare. Be open to working in different kinds of partnerships and experimenting, because no one player can do it all. So the more we remain open to working together in new and different ways, I think that we can all go faster. I think being open to change in terms of being able to bring solutions the ways customers want to buy them, I think is huge. And last but not least, we all need to go where the money is, which is getting better at talking to line of business leaders, because they're the ones funding what we do through IT. So we're investing very heavily in what we call impact training. And I would encourage all of our partners to ask their channel account manager, their partner account manager at Cisco, about things like impact training, because we want to invest in you. We want to invest with you to evolve the skills of your sellers and your architects to make sure we're going where the money is and helping drive transformation in Canadian business. So let's go and win this together.
All right. Sounds good. Mark, thanks once again for taking the time today. Thanks for your continuing support of the site. Always appreciated, and the best to you in 2018.
Happy to do it, Rob, and to you and all the partners out there. I just want to wish everyone a happy, safe holidays. I hope everyone had a phenomenal 17, and I look forward to a prosperous 18 with all of you. So all the best to you and everyone out there on the holidays. Have a great one.
So there you have it, the year that was 2017 and the year that will be 2018 through the eyes of Mark Collins. I'd like to thank Mark for joining us for the podcast, as always, and thank Cisco Canada for its continuing support of the site, and of course, thank you for joining us for the podcast. We'll continue this series next week when we're joined by Jim Chalmers, partner leader for ESET Canada, who discusses the wild ride that was the security market in 2017 with its high-profile ransomware and other big breach stories. We touch on where ESET is going in 2018 and where Chalmers sees channel opportunity for security market going at the same time. Should be a great show. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.